Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks.
Welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am the host, the Monster, back with
Mrs. Monster.
Mrs. Monster. So my wife
Monsterette.
Is Monsterette. No, you're not Monsterette.
Monsterini.
Whatever.
Monstrosis.
Monstrosity.
No, I don't like monstrosity.
Metrosity.
No, that makes me a city. Okay. That'd be Monstropolis.
Okay, whatever.
I don't like that.
So today we're doing, finally, the last podcast for 2016, the Star Wars Rogue One review.
Review.
Which, unfortunately, Gene and I could not get our schedules together, so...
I'm the stand-in.
You're my stand-in.
I'm the token.
Token monster.
Token monster.
So, we're going to do a couple of things. I'm going to do a couple of quick bits, a little sci-fi Star Wars news. And then we're going to do something different before we actually do the review. We're going to play some Star Wars trivia with some
bean... Trivia roulette.
Sort of. With the Harry Potter Bean Boozled Jelly Bellies. And we'll talk about that more in a second. And then on Facebook, I posted this question, actually three questions, about things about what they liked and didn't like and what they would like to see in other standalone movies and so forth. So we'll get to that in a moment. So... let's start off with the fact that come next year, April 15th, 16th, and 17th, that weekend-ish, is going to be Star Wars Weekend in Orlando, which unfortunately I can't go because our daughter has tickets to see her first concert, which is Panic at the Disco, so I won't be able to go out of town for that. But nonetheless, it came from...
It was worth it.
It's very worth it.
Because it made her very happy.
Yes, for Christmas. So, last year was in London. This coming year is going to be in Orlando, which... we'll see. I might be able to escape. Or not.
Or maybe we can just go to May the 4th.
May the 4th.
If they're still doing that. I mean, I don't know anymore.
Well, the Star Wars weekend in Disney has stopped because every day will be Star Wars Day.
Yeah, whatever.
So...
bite me.
All right, so, but the other news also is that come May 2017 will be its 40th anniversary of Star Wars. So,
yay.
I am older than Star Wars, and
me too.
Yes, you are. And you look it. All special editions included. Give me the evil eye. Anywho, moving on.
You don't know evil eye until I give you an evil eye.
All right, so, at the time of this recording... about a little over 8 hours ago, we got the news. Suddenly, Carrie Fisher has passed away.
Yeah.
And at the end of the podcast, I did record ahead of time and did a special piece about my thoughts about what had happened. But I wanted to bring it up in the very beginning to acknowledge that what has happened is a great loss. Not only for the franchise, but for a memorable character... because of what she represents for women and kids growing during that age.
She was a very positive role model. And even when she got over her addictions, she was, you know, became an even better role model. But the problem is that just like with a lot of us, with a lot of family members and people like that, you know, as time grows, you know, people die. And it's not because of old age. It's because their body has just worn out. Because of the drug use that they did earlier in life, the drinking, the narcotics, yeah. The smoking, just the smoking. Somebody can quit smoking, and yet because of the ravages that the smoke has done to their body, they will have they have shortened their lifespan by at least 20, 30, 40 years or more.
Right.
I mean, really, she wasn't that old at all. 60 is not old nowadays. I mean, this is like, it's nothing. But because I believe, you know, with the heart condition that she had, I'm not sure if it was brought on by the drug abuse, but that's my assumption.
Right.
I mean, I can't say for sure.
No, but things like that.
I'm not a doctor, not her doctor.
Right. It does take a toll on the body.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's going to give out sooner than later. So, again, I will do a special piece at the end of it. It's about 15 minutes or so long. So stick around to hear that. So to just not necessarily brush aside the bad news, we want to do, you know, a good time with this podcast. So I decided to do a Star Wars trivia contest between my wife and I. And I've had this book for a while now. It's called Obsessed with Star Wars. Test your knowledge of a galaxy far, far away. And it's 2,500 questions in which what we're going to do is it's going to be set on random. And whatever the number it picks, we have to read from the book what the question is and the answers. The other person has to guess out of the multiple choice answers what the right one is. So if we get it right, the book will give a ding, ding, ding. If we get it wrong, we get an X. Now, to up the ante, if we get it wrong, we have to take one of these Jelly Bellies, and there's two kind of flavors. There's a good flavor and a crappy flavor. Like, really disgusting flavors. Do you want to read some of the flavors that are disgusting?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Spoiled milk, rotten egg, barf. You know I love you, right? Okay. Booger.
I have something
stinky
yesterday.
Socks. Shut up. Dead fish. Toothpaste. Canned dog food. Moldy cheese. Lawn clippings. Okay, those are the bad ones.
Those are the bad ones.
The good ones are coconut, buttered popcorn, peach, juicy pear, tutti frutti, strawberry banana smoothie, berry blue, chocolate pudding, caramel corn, and lime. And the clincher is that these nasty Jelly Bellies look exactly like the good Jelly Bellies. So you won't even ever know if you got a good one or a bad one because they look exactly alike.
Right. So the saving grace is that if the person who gets the wrong answer eats a Jelly Belly and it's a good flavor, obviously you'll say, yeah, it's a good flavor. But if it's the rotten flavor, disgusting, we'll kind of know that you're lying or you're going to say, I'm eating whatever that is as disgustingness. So you'll get an X. So the first person who gets three X's in a row is out. But again, if you get a Jelly Belly that's a good flavor, you're saved. You don't get an X. So you go on, you keep on going until we get
You're not going to remember all these rules.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't. You never do. Here, fill up my cup with more Crystal Light.
Now?
Yes, because if I'm going to start doing this, and if I get an X and I get a nasty jelly bean, I will puke.
All right, so while I'm getting the juice.
The juice.
You get to choose a question for me.
Ooh. Well, I mean, it's going to choose a random question for you anyway.
Just pick one.
Okay, fine. Number 1387. Oh, that was quick. Okay. Whom were Shada Dukal and Carly Dulin impersonating while in the cantina?
In the cantina.
Yeah, I don't even know these names anymore.
What's the answers?
Is A, the Toggle brothers, B, the Tonnel twins, C, the Tanika sisters, or D, the Tanuda twins?
Tanika sisters.
Okay. Why do you know this?
Because I'm smart.
No.
All right. Now my turn.
Hmm.
You get 1987, which is the year you were not born in.
The year I started high school.
High school, Jesus. High school.
Yeah. Shut up. I wouldn't talk, Mr. You're 4 years older than I am.
87. All right. So the question is, Han Solo... Okay, this is one of those long ones, and I have to explain it.
Okay.
Han Solo was unable to get the Millennium Falcon to blast into hyperspace, although it was surrounded by the Imperial fleet. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. They can't have disappeared, Captain Nita said, obviously not wanting to relate the bad news to Darth Vader. Well, there's no trace of them, sir, the officer responded. Where's the Millennium Falcon? A, it blasted into hyperspace. B, it was destroyed... it was on the Star Destroyer Avengers conning tower. C, it was well behind the Star Destroyer Avenger, headed opposite direction. Or D, it was on the Star Destroyer Avengers rear hangar.
It was on the tower.
On the tower, and that was B. All right, you got it right.
Oh, what a surprise, because I've never seen that movie before in my life.
Well.
Whatever.
Once or twice.
2113.
And?
Who volunteered to lead the attack against the Death Star?
Oh, come on.
A, Han Solo.
Nope.
B, Luke Skywalker.
Nope.
C, Lando Calrissian.
Yes.
D, Nien Dunub.
That was his partner. So it's C, Lando.
Wow, you got it right.
Because I'm smart.
Yeah, whatever.
Your question is 1628. Feeling the pressure?
No.
You sure?
Did you fill up my cup?
Oh, I filled up your cup right.
With Crystal Light.
Oh,
not
yeah.
With
Crystal
said,
Light, not
yeah.
the other crap
Shut
that
up.
I was going to do. All right. Where did the exhaust port of the Rebel pilots had to talk? Yeah, start again. Where did the exhaust port, can't talk today, the Rebel pilots had to target, led into directly? A, the reactor system. B, ventilation system. C, this fuel cell. Or D, molten core?
The reactor.
Reactor. Look at that. You're smart, too.
I don't like you. All right. 2121. In the year 2121.
No, it's 2525.
I know. Called Creative License.
TM.
Shut up.
Trademark.
All right. 2121. Okay. What did Emperor Palpatine tell Darth Vader would be Luke Skywalker's undoing? A. His faith in the rebellion. B. His trust in the Force. C. His compassion for Darth Vader. D. His trust in Obi-Wan Kenobi's teachings.
I can screw Obi-Wan Kenobi out of the list. Not Vader. So it's got to be in the rebellion.
And your answer is A. The
yeah.
rebellion? Okay. Incorrect. The answer was C. His compassion for Darth Vader.
No. The other one was the faith in his friends was his undoing.
No. His compassion for Darth Vader said C.
All right, so I get to have the first Jelly Belly. And it's kind of, what color is this? What'd you call this?
Turquoise.
So it's kind of bluish.
So it could either be
toothpaste,
or
blueberry,
berry blue, which is like either way is a win.
All right, well,
I like toothpaste.
If I get the toothpaste, then I get an X. Berry.
Okay, so what does that mean now?
That means I don't get an X.
Which means what?
Keep going.
Okay, whatever.
I got to save.
Okay, but this is my.
No, I do it for you.
Yeah. 1256.
1256.
Yeah.
Who taught Han Solo to understand what? Chewie Wook?
Okay. Who taught Han Solo how to understand Shriwook.
That's obvious.
A Chewbacca, I guess.
Go for it. Oh!
Incorrect. C.
Sorry.
Duwalana. Who's Duwalana?
Doesn't make a difference. Get a Jelly Belly.
Yeah, you think you're so happy.
Yes, I am. Come on, barf. It's all right. My name is Bartholomew.
Okay, this is...
Spotted Orange.
Spotted Orange.
And what's that?
Spotted Orange could either be...
I think this one here. Strawberry Banana.
Or Dead Fish.
Come on, Dead Fish.
I don't want to hear any. I don't want anybody to hear you scream when I dismember you.
And
Strawberry Banana.
Strawberry Banana. Damn it! Strong you with the force? I think not. So it's actually, it's your question. To me, 17-79. So if you're keeping a score at home. It's 0-0. Or love. Love for tennis?
I don't know. I never understood that. Okay. Who was originally from Kestic Station in the Besten system?
The what?
Who was originally from Kestic Station in the Besten system?
Okay.
A. Dashrendar. B. Zev Sineska. C. Tori Ogo. Or D. Wes Jansen.
Okay, I didn't finish freaking Shadows of the Empire. I'm going to go with Dash A. I hope.
Incorrect. Russian roulette. It was B. Zev Sineska.
All right.
Now, the problem is I get to read the books, which I never read any of the books.
I know, but so far, you're okay. No. So I got a greenish-ish color. So it could be...
I would say it's either rotten egg or butter popcorn.
No.
Oh, no. It's either lawn clippings or lime.
Lime, okay.
Either way, it's not bad.
Oh, God!
Lawn clippings?
Lawn clippings.
Oh, God. I'm gonna possibly taste it. Probably tastes like...
Oh, God!
Like peach, by the way. I know you hate peach.
I'd rather drink peach than have lawn clippings.
What, it tastes like grass, right?
Oh my God, it's disgusting.
What's so bad about grass? Okay, fine, whatever. Anyway.
I'm not a cat. I'm not going to start eating it.
Well, the only reason why cats eat grass is so they can barf. So now you can barf. All right.
So that's one X for me, nothing for you. Damn it.
Knock on wood.
Oh, man. Oh.
God. Strong with the horse hand.
Shut it, Yoda. Funny.
Sure you are.
All right, 740. Your question is, what make is Owen Lars' swoop bike?
Which one?
740.
740.
So you know who Uncle Owen is.
Yeah, I know who Owen is. Zephyr 12. I don't know. C.
C. All right.
What the hell?
Oh
yeah, like I wouldn't know what it is.
Too bad for you.
Shut up.
Come on, barf.
Shut up. What the hell's wrong with you?
Booger.
Okay, fine. Let me take... Okay.
What color is it?
It's the same one I picked before.
Okay, it could be the other one.
It could be the other one. And yes, strawberry banana smoothie again.
Oh, screw you. I think I'm going to have to revise this game.
11:85. Okay.
So you can see how fun this is to play at home and for you to listen.
What hallway were the Jedi in when the battle droids told General Grievous that they had been found? Jesus Christ, really? Sorry, Jesus. Okay. Hallway, shut up.
It was his birthday the other day.
Well, you know, I don't want to piss him off. Okay. Hallway 21, hallway 832, hallway 99, or hallway 328. You know what? even Jesus would be like, you're freaking kidding me.
I'll go with the last option. I have no idea. D.
Why would anybody have any idea?
Because they're a nerd.
Don't put down nerd.
Oh!
Oh my god, you got it correct!
I'm
wow.
a nerd!
Yay! What a surprise.
I'm a nerd, and you're married to a nerd.
Oh, well, now the kids can sleep at night.
No, they can't.
Well, they have no choice now. Yeah, we knew Daddy was a nerd. That's alright.
Because they're nerdettes.
Nerdlings.
Nerdlings. Nerf herdlings. Alright, 241. Alright.
Wait, 241 or
2241? 2241. Which canine-based species has been in the service of the Hutts for almost 25,000 years?
Oh, really? Hi. Okay.
You gotta read the answers.
A. Wookiees. B. Ewoks. C. Klaatunians. D. Weequays. I think Weequays. Because okay. I know it's not the first two. I almost had that. I don't know anymore. Incorrect.
Incorrect. The answer is...
is the other one I didn't know. Klaatunians.
Klaatunians. All right. Come on, baby. Come on, barf. Barf.
Wait, I'll choose a different color. I'll choose a color that could be either... Well, I'm not sure. Is this well, the one that's caramel, corn, or moldy cheese?
I think it's the cheese.
Okay. I don't like you.
You never did, so why start now? Ah, you like the cheese? I like the cheese, too. All right.
Except I have one advantage over you.
You like cheese? No. Oh, you're lactose intolerant. What?
I can swallow large pills.
Well, that's a large pill to swallow, babe. All right. So the score is now tied 1-1. So again, first person to get to 3X is the loser. So.
You need to make more crystal light. Okay.
2133 is my question.
Who had been kidnapped from his homeworld and offered to Grand Moff Tarkin as a slave? A. Chewbacca, B. Admiral Akbar, C. Nien Noob, or D. Dora Podanawido.
Watch your mouth. Alright, I know Chewbacca was captive. Han Solo had saved him.
Yeah.
I don't know he was going to be given to Grand Moff Tarkin, because that doesn't make sense, even though he was in... Although, no. They had no compunctions when they were on A New Hope with a Wookiee walking around in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. So it must have been well known that that's what that was. Let's just use that as my logic. I'm going to go with the Wookiee.
Okay.
So, we'll see what that happens.
Incorrect. B. Admiral Akbar. Oh, really?
That's news.
Poor Admiral Akbar.
So, another...
Poor little fish man.
He's a fish out of water.
Oh, God.
All right,
that was so,
so
bad, I can't even say it.
All right, so I got a green one. So,
okay, green could be lime.
Or the lawn clipping. Clippings. Okay. Again. Lime.
Yay.
I like to put the lime in the coconut.
Well, you are a nut. Okay, this one's mine, right?
Which one is?
$5.95.
What do Natulan's head tentacles act as? A secondary hand? Fierce weapons? C, sensory organs that pick up scents? Or D, sensory organs that pick up on emotions of other character or other people.
Okay.
If I'm thinking correctly, it's like the Starhead people.
I would say C.
All right.
Incorrect. D. Oh, they pick up on emotions.
That's news. All right, okay. So just pick one. Don't look at the colors. Come on.
What? No, because you know what? I have the option to stop.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You're one with the force.
Yeah.
And the force is in me. Come on, eat it. I'm going to laugh at you.
You're not chewy.
No, but that will be. That will be. What flavor was that?
I don't know. I didn't look at the color.
It was the dead fish.
Here. I'd rather lick a cat's ass, man. This is horrible.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not, but that's two. Strike two for you. Oh, yes, I will get you more crystal light. Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Give me the Christmas cookies, please.
I will get you Christmas cookies.
And whatever. Give me milk. I don't care.
Anything but.
You know, it's like, I don't care that I'm lactose intolerant. I'll live with it.
All right, answer that next question.
I know, I'm looking for it.
1900.
I know. Thank you. How many beings call Cloud City home?
A lot.
7 million. B, 5 million. C, 12 million. D, 800,000.
800,000. There can't be a million people on that Cloud City.
Incorrect. B. 5 million.
Bull!
Maybe they have cloud people that live there. That don't weigh anything. I don't know.
Alright. I got a white one.
We never really saw how big it was, so.
Okay, so the white one is either spoiled milk or coconut. Here it goes.
I think it has the white one, too.
Oh! Oh, Jesus. Oh, spoiled milk. Hey, give me a cookie. Oh. Oh my god. How was everything going to survive for me go suddenly so wrong?
So mine is, who yelled, "I'd like to have a serious talk with your programmer," when you saw a droid army marching the streets of Coruscant? A. C-3PO. B. Obi-Wan Kenobi. C. Mace Windu. D. Anakin Skywalker.
I don't know.
I'm going to say C.
C. Okay.
Incorrect. A.
All right.
C-3PO.
This is going to be good.
Actually, it does sound like something a C-3PO would say, but I don't understand why he would say it.
Okay. So this could be the deciding game here. All right. So again, get the paper towels ready. We are tied at 2 apiece. And what colors you pull out?
Tutti Frutti color.
Tutti Frutti color, which is?
Stinky socks or Tutti Frutti.
Okay. Here's the drama.
If I get stinky socks, I'm going to punch you. I don't care if it's considered abuse or somebody comes to arrest me. I don't care.
So you don't you don't like Tutti Frutti?
Oh, it is Tutti Frutti.
Okay, so you don't like Tutti Frutti. So You're like, oh, I love stinky socks.
I was waiting. I was like, no. Exactly. Like, I don't know.
Alrighty.
I generally don't suck on stinky socks, so I can't say.
But, again, Tutti Frutti is not your favorite flavor.
After eating Christmas cookies and drinking Peach Crystal Light, you know.
Anything's better. Alright. 2080. Which brings us into The Empire Strikes Back, I think. Yep. Alright. Oh, Jesus. Alright. 2080. Okay. That's my question.
Who played Rogue Four in The Empire Strikes Back? A. Christopher Malcolm. B. Richard Oldfield. C. John Ratzenberger.
Oh.
D. Dennis Lawson. What was Rogue Four? Or who was Rogue Four?
The one that came after the first one. Three times over. Rogue One, Two, and Three equals Four.
Shut up.
Okay. Ratzenberger.
John Ratzenberger?
Yeah. He was in it.
Incorrect. What? It was B. Richard Oldfield.
John Ratzenberger was in it.
Fine, but maybe he wasn't the one who played Rogue Four.
All right. Now, I'm going to pick a color.
Okay. Isn't John Ratzenberger the guy from Cheers?
Yes. Norm. Okay. No, not Norm. Norm's friend.
Yeah.
All right, so this is either dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie.
I mean, in a good way. I'm assuming it's strawberry banana smoothie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, I can't taste the fruitiness. But if it was dead fish, I would have been like you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're still saved.
Okay, 1931.
This is going on how long? Oh, wait, 30 minutes?
Yeah, a little time flies when you're, like, sick to your stomach.
Mm.
Okay, this is mine, right? What phrase did C-3PO reply, how rude, to what phrase?
Everything.
Tichuta. Hatyuta. Hatyuta. Lana. Pablu. It's either A or B. I think A. Probably wrong. Incorrect. It was B. See, I knew it was B, but I didn't trust myself.
It's all right.
Damn it.
And?
I want another one of these strawberry smoothie or dead fish things. You know, I hope it's dead fish just so I can get over with this shit. Because I'm fucking sick of this shit. It was good.
Okay, so you passed. No, you're okay.
It just tastes weird.
Right. It doesn't taste like whatever the good flavor is.
Okay.
Yeah. Trust me, I think if it was the bad one, we would have been barfing like we've been doing already.
Now, I had that one a couple times, and it tasted okay before. Maybe it's rubbing off on the other ones.
Yeah, that could also happen, too. Alright, so this is my question, since you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
What plans did Count Dooku take with him before he fled to the secret hangar? A. Confederacy of Independent Systems battle plans. B. The plans for a super battle droids. C. Plans to the ultimate weapon. Or D. Blueprints to the Star Destroyer. So I'm going to say C. The ultimate weapon. Because remember, he had the little thing open up, and it's the Death Star construction.
It was the Death Star.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between ultimate weapon and Death Star?
That is the ultimate weapon.
Okay. So did you get it right?
Yes.
Okay. Because you have kind of deaf, so I can hear. Okay. 1470. Oh, crap. That's one of the big ones. These creatures' bodies, aside from their extremities, are one giant stomach sack and digestive system. They can unhinge their jaws to swallow things that are much larger than their body size, and their bodies stretch to accommodate these larger food items. Their digestive system contains powerful acids that break down things that most other creatures would find indigestible. Kind of like Trump. Depending on the situation, this feature can make these creatures either very handy to have around or the cause of nightmares, like Trump. These creatures are not sentient, but have been shown through research to display traits that show some form of intelligence. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so, these creatures are self-fertilizing. When they lay eggs, their larvae are microscopic and form colonies. As the creatures grow in their numbers to become too great for their current location, some of the offspring will attempt to migrate into new, less populated areas where they can flourish. Jeez. Okay. Most of them are generally passive unless attacked or startled. What are they? Oh, crap. I had to actually name it. Why can't I just tell her what they... Okay. It's A, dewbacks. No. C, crate dragons. C, Dianogus. Or D, Skittos. How the hell am I supposed to know what it is? You know what it is. It's the thing that tried to eat Luke inside the garbage facility.
No, not necessarily. Yeah.
No, it is. Look at the eyeball.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the thing that tried to eat Luke inside the garbage thing.
Okay, well, that's not
but
what
I know. Obviously, I know it's not a dewback.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to say Dianogus, blah, 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 whatever.
The, what? Letter D?
No, number C.
C. Pull that out of your
now
buttocks.
Well, it looks like something got pulled. That's something I pulled out of his buttocks.
9:33. Okay, we're going into prequel area. 9:33. Where is Ristal Sant from?
Who?
Ristal.
Who's that?
I have no idea. A. New Barnilax. B. Vorzadat V or 5. C. Dantooine or D. Mundanlistis, whatever. Well, I'm going to say Dantooine because that's the only thing that I know, which is C. And I got it wrong.
What was it?
I don't know.
A.
It
says New Bornalax.
Bornalax.
Well, didn't you know that? Everybody's from New Bornalax.
Alright, so this is either... Oh, shit. Peach.
Or
barf.
Oh, God. Let's get the paper towels ready.
So again, we're keeping score. It's still tied 2-2. And I could be losing this game right now.
Or just losing your lunch. Which I'm assuming you didn't. Oh, yes, he did.
Oh. I hate Peach. Oh my god.
So it was barf?
It was barf.
Because I know you really hate Peach.
I hate, exactly. That's why I was like, man, he really doesn't like Peach. Oh god. It's Peach. Alright.
I think it probably would have been worth if you had milk.
Soured milk? Spoiled milk? Rotten milk?
Okay, fine.
So. Alright. That's it. So,
I win!
You get to win. Thank you, honey, for playing the...
Yeah, thank you for touching my hand now you barfed in it.
That's love, baby.
Okay.
Alright. Okay. So...
We're no longer obsessed with Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna move on. So, let's talk about Rogue One. What were your thoughts about it?
My ear, Christmas cookie.
Oh my god. Because you knew that I was going to talk to you and you shove a cookie in your mouth.
It was so good. I made them.
You made the movie or you made the cookies?
I made the cookies, stupid.
How can you make cookies stupid?
Because you ate them.
Three. I'm stupid.
Alright, anyway.
So.
Rogue One. Was the most freaking fantastic movie I have seen since Return of the Jedi.
Really?
Well, I mean, the thing is, the first three...
Right.
...were the best ones made, period.
Of course.
Okay?
Right.
So the fact is that I hated the prequels. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they told the story, but I hated them.
Right.
I loved the Attack of the Clones cartoon series because it was very, very interesting. And I liked the Rebels so far. But as far as movies go with live-action people, once the three were done, that's it. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't even like Force Awakens. I just got so sick of them repeating everything that they learned, that they said from all the other movies. Han Solo! Millennium Falcon! Yeah, we already established that part, okay? And the Force permeates us and binds us and everything. Yeah, can't you think of anything else, or is that just rote? That everybody who mentions the Force. Okay, what is Force? It's like dictionary definition. It binds us all together, you know. Think of something else. You know, paraphrase, whatever. So, Rogue One was like a completely original story, as far as I know, okay? And it was just back, you know? I mean, yeah, there's a couple things in there that was like, you know, it's like, huh, what? But the fact is that it was just neat, okay? Mm. It had power. It had depth of characters. It had surprises. It had really cool action scenes with, like, the hammerhead ship pushing into the disabled Star Destroyer, into another Star Destroyer, and then into the gate, and all the destruction, and I'm like, yes! And then, you know, you see all the people from the original, from the New Hope, you know, like, you know, Red Leader, right. And Blue Leader, and Blue Squad, and all these people, and I'm like, yes, 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 I know these people! And they even had the same people, I mean, they use the same scenes, you know, they use the same actors, whatever, you know, because right. they copy it. I'm like, that's so cool! And then at the freaking end, and it was like, yeah, it's like what Kevin Smith was talking about, like, you know, like, oh, wait, it's like Darth Vader's coming into the hallway, and you're seeing all these people. It's like, okay, that's not the same ones, you know, but it's not the same hallway, but it's like, wait, the scene looks very familiar, but it's like, oh, that's why, because he's not on the hammerhead ship that Princess Leia was on. He was on another ship that he boarded. And then they were able to get the plans through the door, because the door was broken, to another
set of soldiers.
Another soldier. And then they gave that to Princess Leia.
Right.
And they said, and that was Princess Leia. I mean, they did, yeah, it was CGI, but so what? I mean, they did a really good job. The General Tarkin in the thing was CGI. I thought it was going to be somebody just with makeup on. Because, you know, they can do really good things. Like the new, like the leader of the rebellion, the lady. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the same woman.
No.
But they made her look like her.
Well, it's the one from Revenge or Attack of the Clones. It's a deleted scene.
Okay.
In which there was it's Revenge. It was the leader scene at the beginning of the rebellion, and Mon Mothma was there, and she was talking to Padme, but they cut that scene out because Lucas didn't want anything to do with the beginnings of the rebellion.
Oh, okay.
So it's that same actress
that
you never saw.
Okay, but what I'm saying is like not, her. But yes, right. But I'm just saying it's still, right. It's not the same one from there. So she was an actual real person, real thing. But the thing is, General Tarkin and Leia were CGI.
Yes.
But they did a really good job on Tarkin. I thought it was another actor that they just do the makeup to make him look like it. I mean, you can do a really good job with makeup to make you look like other people.
Right.
Okay. They did a really good job with him. They did a really good job with Leia. You know, because that was, you know, I was like really happy that they did not do something really, you know, vague. You know, like I was talking about on Tron. And Tron Legacy.
Right, with Flynn.
Clue,
right.
And it's like, you can see.
Right, but even then, that was like the very beginning.
It was good, but it was still of that
technology.
Yeah, one of them.
But it was very good in that sense. And I thought it was a little bit too much reliance for Governor Tarkin. But nonetheless.
He was important.
Right. He needed to be part of there. And
he was a rival with, what was the name of the other guy?
Krennic.
With Krennic. He was the rival with Krennic.
Right.
And it just, you know, the way it just tied in, you know, it just tied in with the whole story.
Right,
you
know? It was perfect.
And it's like, it makes so much more sense now. That's what bothered me so much about the other stuff. You know, the thing is that Force Awakens didn't really, even though, oh yeah, it was this and this and this, it didn't really tie in together, you know? Because it's like, even like they had to establish the scenes with Luke and everybody, you know, being in different parts and things like that. It just, they needed something else to tie the show, the movie together.
No, I know. And
I didn't like that.
Right.
And yeah, they had the Starkiller Station. But what's the difference between a Starkiller Station?
No, we don't want any more music. Thank you.
The Starkiller Station and the Death Star, same thing. And what's the difference between, you know, all these other things with the New Hope? The same thing.
Right,
know?
It's like, oh no.
So that's why.
So it's just bigger Death Star.
It was just like, a bigger Death Star. It was just like the same people or the same situations over and over. And it's just like, you know what? They just effed it up. You know, they had so much more to work with. They had like 25 million freaking books out there. Okay? so many books, so much material, so much everything out there. I mean, they could have just, you know, instead of them doing Force Awakens, they could have just used the Force of, you know, the Truce of Bakura. And that still would have been a new original story, you know?
Well, that can still happen. So who knows what can be done.
It's just that they had the ability, they had the possibility. You know, it's just like they touched it, whoever it was. You know, the same person who did Star Wars, and then does Star Trek, with Khan.
Yeah.
You know, can you, like, not try to destroy all my dreams, please?
Well, I just, again, we'll move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we'll move on to that. Yeah, I know. No, I'm going off on a tangent.
No, I know. But in fairness, I think because of all the problems that we had with Force Awakens,
yeah,
that's why we liked Rogue One a hell of a lot more.
Because it brought us back. It basically confirmed our faith in Star Wars.
Right. And
this is what Force Awakens should have been.
Right. So even though we get to see Han Solo and Princess Leia and the Millennium Falcon, we saw a lot more, a hell of a lot more in Rogue One, which is more impressive to have the fact you have Governor Tarkin, a young Princess Leia, and you have Vader who kills literally in action.
Yeah.
In a badass moment that it was just like, you forget how terrifying he can be, and he just unleashed himself.
Yeah, that's true. He's never really that bad in any of the other movies, except that he was in this one.
So
yeah, now and he just went off on it.
As someone pointed out, it's a scene from Revenge of the Sith when Anakin went to kill the younglings. That scene in the hallway is what they shot, like how that scene would have been in Revenge. They showed you. So he's just throwing stuff up in the air, slashing people. You know, knocking the lasers left and right. Yeah. It was just
he was the junkyard dog. Going after the burglar, his leash is loose,
and just like he went to town. So I was just all these great moments are so fantastic. And yes, there were problems in which it was very slow in the very beginning. There was no traditional Star Wars.
Yeah, the
crawl.
Star Wars the music in the beginning that kind of bothered me. But you know, I mean, what the hell?
Well, again, their justification is that this is not part of the saga, but a side story that tells whatever happens before Star Wars.
That's stupid.
Well,
it is part of the saga. Every freaking movie and cartoon
and everything they do is
part of the saga.
I know, but
just because it's a standalone movie does not mean it's not part of the saga.
It just happens to shoehorn perfectly into Star Wars: A New Hope.
That's an excuse.
No, I know, but if they're going to do the next standalone is Han Solo, you know, they're not going to do moments but before New Hope and he's there sitting down at a bar. You know, that's not how that movie is going
to
end.
No, it ends with him going to the Kessel Run
or whatever.
No, and that's the other thing that bothered me so much about the other thing with the Force Awakens. Oh, you're the one who did the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs. You know, it's like, can you be any more stupid?
I know.
Because the thing is that nobody knows what the hell a Kessel Run is.
Well,
nobody.
Hopefully we'll see that in the next movie.
But the thing is that they used that as like, you know, to add in a little thing. Ooh, add that part. Because that was cute.
That was funny. That's the other thing, too.
You know, and it's like, who the hell did the dialogue for this?
Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams. Lawrence Kasdan, who did Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, Lawrence is good. J.J. should basically go sit on his 80s toilet and just like stay there, okay?
So,
you know,
just leave.
Don't touch anything else.
I know.
Don't play with scissors.
It was forced.
Don't run around. You know, just sit in the corner because you've been bad.
No, I agree. But again,
and he also did Star Trek. The last one with Khan, right?
What? JJ? He did the first two.
JJ?
Yeah.
He did the first two.
Yeah. The first one was fantastic. The second one was a repeat of the second one,
and it was a repeat of the first one.
In some elements, yes. I agree. So, but
sit in the corner. Don't touch anything.
Shush.
Don't play with sharp objects.
The only good news is that JJ is not going to be back for the next one, for episode 8, because we got a new director for
that.
So, there's not a whole lot that I'm going to say other than, except for this, it was meant to be a heist film. So in my head, I'm thinking...
What's a heist? What do you mean?
Like Ocean's 11. You have
a bunch of talented
people, like a dirty dozen, they all formed together for this common cause, but it turned out to be not so much of a heist movie, but a really epic battle.
Yeah.
For the rebellion. Yeah, sacrifice. And the fact that no one makes it out, I think is even more telling of how brave they are to mm-hmm. do a movie like this and to let every one of these characters just basically die. And that's amazing.
And it makes it more telling, because the thing is that when they talked about it. But you know, the thing is that when she said, like, many Bothans died for this information.
But that was for Return of the Jedi. So between Empire and Return, Bothans.
Who were the Bothans?
She's a Bothan. If I remember, she's a Bothan.
Yeah, you said her son was one of the ones who was killed, right?
Right. He was the one in the comics. It alleged that he's the one that Imperial troops have entered the bay and Charlie troops have entered and then cuts out.
Mm-hmm.
That's him giving that warning. So they show that scene and how he survived or whatever or dies, but that's him.
Okay.
So he's the one of many Bothans died. So when she says that, she's including him as her loss.
Oh,
so
yeah.
And which the takes on a whole new meaning.
See, that's the thing. So, you know, like the cartoon that they did of the Clone Wars, how much detail they did, you know, even the part where, like, when Yoda went on his quest, you know, when Qui-Gon contacted him, the spirit of Qui-Gon, you know,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. I mean, that was like really good, you know, because it was like epic. And all the other, you know, a lot of the other parts that they showed with the fighting against the droids, and you know, it just took on so much more meaning. Because when the clones, like, oh, my father fought with you with the Clone Wars, I have no idea what that meant.
Right.
With the Clone Wars. Because I didn't understand that they were talking about the Stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't realize the Stormtroopers were clones. You know, until that movie came out, you know,
right.
When they showed them everything. And, you know, it makes it more interesting that way. But it just seems like there's, like, so much more that they could have talked about.
What?
And, of course, obviously, they couldn't do everything in the movie, but it's just, I don't know.
Well, I think
they focused too much more on the CGI crap, you know.
Are we talking about the prequels?
All the CGI stuff.
You're talking about
the prequels, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's George's fault because, you know, that's his baby and he is directing it all. And his finance is going to be for the whole entire movie set, you know. So who's going to say no to the guy who created Star Wars?
I know.
And I think that's the problem, too, is that you get to a certain point, no matter how talented you are, let someone else play in that playground you just set up. Gene Roddenberry is a perfect example of how he set up a great universe with Star Trek. Other people came in and did even better stories. But when you leave Gene to do his own movies, we get, I think he was involved with the original, the first Star Wars, Star Trek movie, which is the V'ger concept. He talked about that being in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that kind of slows her down because he believes this is the grand storytelling, but it's not. But of course.
Yeah, that one, like, that dragged the hill.
Right, so you move on from there, and then you get better movies after that because other people are involved because they know more about the material or they find a certain angle to play with. So in this case, you know, we have Gareth Edwards, who did the previous monster movie was Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
and before that was Monster. So, you know, I loved what he did before, and he delivered on this movie. So Ryan Johnson is going to be doing episode 8. So hopefully it's going to be a completely different style from what JJ did. And from what I'm reading, it's going to be just on a level of, like, Empire good, where it's much darker in tones and much more further mm-hmm. as far as storytelling, that is not just, oh, remember that Kessel Run joke? Ha, ha, ha. Or
yeah.
Luke Fonda will get to say something.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I was like, oh, yeah, Luke's going to be in there. It's like, ah. And everybody's looking for Luke Scott. What's a big freaking deal about looking for Luke? I mean, seriously. Why was he so damn important?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
We shall find out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he's not important anyway, but why was, like, the whole freaking thing just to find him? Why? What's a big freaking deal?
Hmm.
Obviously, he didn't want to be found.
Right.
You know? Anyway. So, you know, you asked me to ask some friends about, you know, the other questions, you know. Do you want, is the extensive reshoot, would you care to see the original version of Rogue One since it's released on Blu-ray?
Right. So,
and,
before I do that.
Oh.
So, basically, this is something that I posted on Facebook. And it was a separate group on Facebook that was closed. So, people who saw the movie can talk about the movie without spoiling it. So,
mm-hmm.
I posted on that group three questions. One was, with the extensive reshoots, and because of the trailers.
I just said that.
No, I know. But I'm just, because of the trailers that we saw, none of that in the movies. Would you want to see that in the Rogue One re-release or release on DVD Blu-ray as a separate disc or deleted scenes and so forth? The second question was, since Star Wars Rogue One is a separate standalone movie, what other things would you like to see? Characters and what timeline? And then the last one was, what were the best and worst moments of Rogue One? So I'm just going to say the first name of the people that mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so I want to thank everyone that helped out with this, because you guys were great with your answers. Right off the bat, Jennifer H.
There's another Jennifer out there?
There's plenty of Jennifers out there. was basically one of the first people to answer my question. She's part of the Earth Station MCU podcast, which is part of the Earth Station Network. So I've been following her for a while. I listened to her show, so eventually she agreed to be a guest of my show in the future. As to what that will be, I have no idea. But
now after she listens to this one.
Shut it, Jennifer. So let's start with what you... What did I say?
Oh, my friend Harry?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, my friend Harry is a jokester. So, you know, some of it, what he wrote is serious. And the rest of what he wrote is crap. So, anyway. Yes, he would always care to see other versions. What characters would he like to see in the next one? Greedo in high school with Han. The worst moments in Rogue. Barely original theme song. No crawl intro, which right. I don't know what that means.
That's the opening crawl.
Oh. With the line, with the words. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Best was the Vader berserker rage.
Yeah.
Killing everybody. And he says, I wish there was a scene of Vader crying, holding a stuffed animal in his chamber, quietly weeping that no one likes him.
Jesus. That's Harry for you.
Yeah, he does that. Okay, so that's that.
Okay, anyone else, or that was it?
No, well, the thing is, nobody else has seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
At least the ones that are, like, you know, the people that I work with that are, like, that are geeky Star Wars people. A lot of them hadn't seen it yet when I asked at that time.
All right, so let's go back to Jennifer, not you, the other one. Mm-hmm. She said possibly there's a director's cut, but I don't think Disney allows those. Mm-hmm. They would want to see the finished product and not open themselves up to criticism of what should or should not have been included. So I see that very much so being the case, meaning you might get lucky with the deleted scenes, but there will never be a re-edited version or the first original version before the reshoots. Kai is our second person. She writes, no, I love it as is, except I would have loved the scene with Cassian and Jen when she asks, are you with me? And he says, to the end. Beautiful moment, great foreshadowing, which is the I love you moment, I know, that kind of thing.
You harp on that way too much.
I know.
Shut up.
Jamie was not sure. Bo writes, there definitely needs to be a director's cut, but if not, at least there should be at least deleted scenes on the reel. So yes, I agree on that. Scott writes, if not an original cut, again, deleted scenes. Connie, who also listens to the podcast every once in a while, I don't need to see the reshoot. I enjoy the film as is. I rarely purchase the DVD, so I rarely watch the extras anyway. Jesus.
And Jennifer, me.
You, what did you say?
I'm not sure about the different versions yet. I want to savor the yesness, the yes of this version for a while. I'm assuming both or all versions will be available on Blu-ray. I don't know. Anyway, I like this. It's kind of like when you just eat a really, really, really good meal and you just want to, like, you don't want to brush your teeth at the end of the end of the night.
Or eat the ones that really stuck before you ate that dish. You know, the trial and error. It's like, oh, this is really good.
You mean like the barf jelly bean?
No. Shut up. All right, so the next Star Wars story, again, is about Han Solo. Which character would you want to see in a timeline and where? So Maggie writes, Lando and the acquisition of the Falcon for him, which we are going to get Donald Glover to play Lando.
What do you mean Lando and acquisition of the Falcon?
Because remember, from Lando.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay, yeah.
Right.
Forget it.
Benjamin writes that he agrees to see young Han Solo, so it's good about that. Phil writes, Darth Maul all day, pre-episode one and post-episode one.
That would be, yeah, that was true. Darth Maul was such a waste.
Yeah.
He was such a cool character, and they killed him off, like, almost right away. I mean, what a waste.
Although, in the Clone Wars, he does come back in a major way. He has.
Well, yeah, that's only because it was the Clone Wars. That was before... Oh, wait a minute.
No, it's after...
Oh, that's stupid.
No, he still survived.
He survived being cut in half.
Because...
Falling down a shaft.
He survived.
That makes no sense.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so Jennifer writes, meeting Chewie, Lando, acquisition of Falcon, Kessel Run. Kessel Run.
Shut up.
12 parsecs. Taking 14. A job from Jabba, reference in the cantina scene. Please no CGI. I'm not sure how they're going to do it without CGI.
With Jabba?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I know they can do it the old way.
Well, they can put him back together.
I know, but just...
And more than likely, they have him somewhere in a creature shop.
Right, but the thing is, he would have to be stationary or on a floating platform in order for him to be... Not to do
well,
CGI.
Well, how did they do it before?
No, it was CGI. In the special editions of New Hope, it was all CGI. But then Return of the Jedi, when it first came out...
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, he can't be moving like he did with CGI.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that they don't have to do it that way. They don't have to use that. It doesn't mean he has to be there in the hangar.
So, you want him to, like, call, like, Pizza
the
Hut?
It's like taking the job from Jabba reference in the cantina scene.
No,
that,
I know.
That took place...
I know, but...
That took place before the
know,
hangar
but
scene.
You want a scene, like, from, like, what's that movie?
Pizza the Hut. Oh, Pizza the Hut.
You know, that he's on
a
little
video... He's gonna send out for you.
Yeah, he's on a little video screen, so you just see his just fat face.
Yeah, I know.
And that's it.
But the thing is that with
you
this
can do
one,
a hand puppet with that.
No, I mean, the CGI thing of Jabba was repulsive.
I know.
Absolutely repulsive.
Boss, you taste delicious.
You know, and then, like, he stepped on his tail. I mean, for God's sakes, there's no way that he would have been able to...
I know, but the thing was, there was no way to do that otherwise, because... In the original scene, he was just a human actor.
Well, they could... Yeah, I know. But I'm saying is that with all the technology that they had...
That's what they did.
They could have put him on a floating platform.
Right. So they could have done
that's
that,
the only
but...
way he can get around anyway. He's
whatever.
Too damn fat.
Anyway. So, Benjamin Ryan would like to see him jettison the cargo spice that he talked about, the Imperial Cruisers. Kai writes...
Ahsoka.
I love Ahsoka. Yeah. So, of course, she's in Rebels, and I have not seen any of Season 2.
Yeah.
So I am dreading what will happen between her and Vader.
Mm.
So
yeah, that's sad.
And then Jamie writes, "I agree with Jennifer. How Chewie and Han wound up together." Okay, mm-hmm. So everyone's writing about Han Solo and Chewie and how they found it to get together.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Except me.
Except you. What did you write?
I would like to see what happened to Ahsoka Tano and Asajj Ventress.
Yes.
Because Asajj survived. She wasn't killed off.
Right, and she...
Because I thought she was killed off in one version by Anakin.
No.
When he started getting kind
right,
of closer.
Right, in an animated series,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it turned out that in another one, like, she survived and she took off.
Right.
Once Ahsoka and her kind of...
Worked together.
Became allies
right.
in something. And, and Yoda, after Revenge of the Sith, you know, where did he go? The thing is that he was so spry... And everything like that in Revenge of the Sith and all the other the prequels when he was fighting against Dooku and things like that. And then when you see him on Dagobah, he's like old, you know. So it's like, was that all an act,
right.
or was he really just did he just take a lot out of him or something?
Right.
You know, it wasn't like what happened with Mace. I mean, he wasn't attacked by the Emperor. He wasn't like his like with the lightning and stuff. You know.
Well, it's because he's.
What?
Who is Mace Windu supposed to be? In Force Awakens.
No. No. That's your theory. It's bullshit. If Jar Jar is in fact a Sith, and proof. Because that one made sense.
Okay.
That video.
So the thing was, we're talking...
The one about, like, you know, like Smokey the Snoke. Smokey the Sith doesn't make any sense to
right.
me.
Right. The if you watch a video on YouTube, there's a thing that they kind of hint that Mace is Snoke later on as leader of
and
the
that
new
Finn
order.
Is his son and blah blah blah.
Which makes sense, but again, we're not gonna go into that.
Yeah.
All right.
Crap.
Connie writes again with the Han Solo, but she did mention something about the princess after Revenge. So unfortunately, because again Carrie Fisher has passed away.
Yeah.
And you only seen an episode of Strange Things. The girl who plays Eleven. Okay.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Plays Millie.
Yeah.
Right. There's a picture of her with short hair.
Yeah.
Compared to a young Carrie Fisher, that would be perfect. I can see that so well.
Yeah, how on. She learned. Yeah, the thing is, I don't really see how that would be very, very interesting, though.
No, but it has to
and
be.
And she grew up as privileged and dent on.
Not necessarily.
On Alderaan.
Not necessarily. She has a streak of rebellion within her. Mm-hmm. I would like to see, like, a young Princess Leia to see how that would work.
What I would like to see is what goes on with Naboo. Mm. Because the thing is that Alderaan was her home planet as far as she knew.
Right.
But it would be very interesting to see what's going on with Naboo now.
Okay. All right, so moving on to our last questions. Last question. What was the worst and best moment? So Jennifer writes, space battle, the worst, Tarkin and Leia. So, yes, even though Tarkin and Leia were CG.
You and I did a really good job.
You and I were clapping when we saw the back of Leia's head.
Yeah, because we knew.
We knew that's how it was going to end. And
the
thing
is, when she turned around, and I was like, please, because they did do a... I mean, it was CGI, yes.
It was good enough.
But they did a good job of CGI.
It was good enough.
Yeah.
So I was happy with that. All right, so Kai writes, best moment ever. Every moment was K2SO.
Yeah, he was funny.
I loved him. Alan Tudyk is amazing.
He was so funny.
And worse is the use of Saw. Saw Gerrera.
Yeah, that's I was upset about that too. It seems like he was a wasted character also.
Right, but he is...
And they talked about like he was so feared and all this kind of crap. And I'm like, what's so fearsome about him? Because he's like walking with two electronic legs or something like that? Or because he was just like, you know, he had to use an air ventilator.
Right, which is what Kevin Smith brought up.
Which means something happened to him.
Right, but he was like the...
But what happened to him?
Unfinished model version of Vader, but like on the Rebellion side, but like he's less of a man now because
yeah.
He's
but the
all...
thing is, they don't show what he.
No, no,
did.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's going to be on Rebels, and which you can see the younger version of Saw Gerrera before all this happened, before at this point in his life where he just basically gives up. So we will see a younger version of him in Rebels. So which Rebels did appear in the space battle. There is the ghost ship a couple of times. You get to see it in battle. And I thought that was very cool. Chopper supposedly is a very quick scene in one shot that someone froze it. And I'm like, it's kind of blurry. But in any case.
Jamie
writes. Here, you can read that one.
The destruction of the Imperial base. I knew there would have to be no loose ends with all these new characters. And this was basically the Red Wedding of Star Wars, brutal and immediate.
Right. So
what does that
the
mean?
The Red Wedding is the reference to Game of Thrones, in which season finale is a bloodbath. So,
Ooh, really?
So basically,
I never watched Game of Thrones. Yeah. I know that makes me like some kind of like weird freak, but I'm sorry.
No, not just a weird freak.
Oh, shut up.
The weird freak.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So number three, Bo writes
when Vader enters from his castle.
Yeah. Which I like.
Oh yeah, that was kind of weird. Yeah,
but
he
it was Mustafar.
Kind of castle.
It was Mustafar. Mustafar was the planet that he was battling Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh yeah, the thing. Oh yeah, you know somebody mentioned that. Why would he want to go back there?
That's his birthplace.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, it makes sense for him to be there.
Worst, it's not Star Wars without a crawl at the beginning, just like Harry said. Yeah.
All right, so Scott. Go ahead, do that one.
Not sure where to pinpoint, but the first hour or so was extremely slow passing, like what you said. But the Vader hallway made it all worth it.
Yeah. Okay. So Connie writes she wasn't sure about the timeline of where Rogue One fits in. And of course, she found out it was congruent with the Star Wars. Love K2SO.
Getting that new favorite droid.
Right. And then a couple of things she was disappointed. I'm sorry. Since I knew they were looking at the Death Star plans, I knew they had to get them from Princess Leia, so I was really looking forward to the connection, and was not disappointed when she appeared, which we loved too, so we loved that scene. Darth Force choking Krennic was cool, although he kind of, the way he was cupping his hands at one point, I'm like, is he cupping, like choking him, or grabbing him by, you know, the scrotum?
Well, it wasn't Spaceballs.
I know, but it looked like he was just grabbing him like that, so it wasn't kind of like...
Like, how many assholes are on this ship?
Yo! I'm surrounded by assholes. So, she writes, I may be naive. I was not aware that there was a suicide mission. Actually, neither did
I. Yeah, I don't know that a lot of people knew that it was
I wasn't
a
expecting
mission.
That because, again...
Because nobody really talked about how they got the Death Star plans.
Right. And then you see her, again, this is the deleted scenes.
Yeah.
And where she's running with a deck with the plants, with everyone else alongside of her running on the beach. And of course, they're still alive. Or
what deleted scenes?
In the trailers, you see her running the trailer on the beach.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking, oh, she's gonna someone is gonna get off on this planet with the plants.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was all going downhill.
Uplink.
Yeah. So, yeah, that definitely bummed me out big time. And then, what did you write?
Best scene: Death Star firing upon Isis. Is that the planet that Saw was on? I was trying to find out, but I couldn't find the name.
Jeddah, I think. The city of Jeddah.
Yeah, but okay, well, okay, Jeddah. And causing enormous earthquakes, sandstorm, / tidal wave thing that happened. The Hammerhead Rebellion ship pushing the disabled Star Destroyer into the other Star Destroyer, causing it to completely destruct and fall into the shielding generator. And seeing the AT-AT walkers and Scarif. I think that was the first time they've ever seen AT-AT walkers, because when that guy, I forget his name, Chewie's friend, whatever... Chirrut, friend.
Blaze. Blaze?
I don't know. Yeah, I think Blaze. And he started firing, and then it's like he realized he couldn't stop it.
Right.
And I guess that's the first time he's ever encountered something that big that he couldn't stop.
Right.
And so that's what I'm thinking, because I remember, like, the AT-AT walkers were all over Endor. They were all over Hoth.
Right.
And, but the thing is that I was talking to Richard, our son, who's like a big Star Wars fanatic, and he said that the AT-ATs were not around. Instead, what they had were the ones that they could walk up the side of the side of the mountains, which they use in the Clone Wars.
Right.
Which, if you watch the Clone Wars cartoons, you would know this, because the Clone Wars, what happens is they were inside these things, and these things were designed to literally crawl up mountains.
Right.
And that's what the AT-ATs were before. That's before they redesigned them to become these giant walker things.
Right.
Anyway, so that was really freaky, because, like, all of a sudden, like, these just giant things, like, almost gonna step on you. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Right.
Worst or not great scenes, because I don't really think there's any worse scenes. I did miss the fact that there was a crawl, but I didn't think about it, because it was, like, it was such a good movie, I forgot about that part. Getting the pilot back from Saw, because the thing is that he had this thing, this, like, critter that was, like, going into his brain.
Right.
His brain was supposed to be all messed up, or that the pilot was actually a double agent, and he was actually not a good guy after all, and all this kind of crap. But apparently the pilot was good.
Yeah.
And I guess if you were bad or you were lying, the thing would, like, liquefy your brains or something like that, but it didn't do it.
Or as a doctor would say, soup.
Or as, you know, like the brain thing from, you know, Starship Troopers, lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. And knowing the Imperials weren't going to be able to touch Chirrut, That was kind of lame, because, you know, think the Force, you know, I'm the Force and the Force with me, you know, and he's blind and he's walking across and everybody's firing at him. You know they weren't going to hit him, because that would just ruin the movie.
I know, but then again, they're stormtroopers, so their aim is always going to be poor, regardless.
They killed everybody else.
Well,
so somebody knew what the hell they were doing. So, but it's like, you knew that they weren't going to hit him. So it was just like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, like that's, you know, when he finally reached the panel and he was able to flip the switch, and I'm like... whatever.
But still, so. Everyone had... I think one of my favorite moments with Chirrut is, like, when they were going to meet Saw.
Yeah.
The band, like, covered everyone's head, and they put a cover over him. It's like, I'm already blind!
No. They put a sack over everybody's head, except... And they put a sack over him. And he's like, you're freaking kidding me! He actually said that. I love that. That was awesome. I forgot about that one. That was classic.
So there were lots of good moments, lots of humor that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
And I think a better Star Wars movie that I've seen in a very long time, even like Return of the Jedi, doesn't even compare to this. Even though it kind of wraps up the whole saga, I think really Rogue One ends on such a great note that it's just, it does so many right things towards the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. I'm kind of confused about one thing, though, because there's a part in when they go down to, what was the name of the planet, where they went to the planet because he was going to go and kill Galen Erso.
Right.
What was that place?
I forget.
Anyway, so the thing is that he saw him there, and even though the thing is that, what was the name of the guy, Kirik? I can never remember.
Kirik was the one that... Kirik. Was ready to kill all the scientists.
Yeah. So the thing is that he saw him. He had him in his crosshairs. And Galen was there too. And yeah, he didn't kill Galen, because actually I think he started liking Jenna. Okay? and he didn't want to kill her father. But the thing is, why didn't he just kill Carrick? He was right there. He was a head guy. He could have, like, you know.
And the other thing, too, is that I didn't understand the motive behind killing Galen.
Well, because they figured that they didn't know how far the Death Star had progressed, and they figure they kill the top scientist, they can't do anything else.
No, I know. But I just thought,
information will die with him.
I just thought it was just, considering how young the girl was when she started out, to how many years they found out about Galen, it just seemed like I would have never taken out Galen as the scientist as...
Well, the scientists I think it was like it was in a movie or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It was like the scientists were always pawns for the military. Yes, it was David Kirk, Captain Kirk's son, or David. I'm sorry, David. What was her name?
I know from Star Trek II.
Yeah, but what was his last name actually? Because Carol.
It was David.
No, but his last name, because he wasn't Marcus.
Yeah,
David Marcus, and he said. Oh, no, it's always, the scientists are always pawns for the military.
Right.
So, you know, that's why.
Okay. All right, so I think we're good. I mean, we're running over an hour and 15 or so, so.
Yay.
I think we're going to end the podcast, at least in this section, for the review, and thanks to everyone on Facebook for helping us out.
Yes.
And I hope you enjoyed us barfing for your pleasure, playing our Star Wars trivia game, so. If you
barfing
like that, I will definitely want to do that again with other people.
What, barfing?
No, playing with more trivia like that. So we'll see what happens.
Nobody's going to want to do it. Once they hear us gagging, they're not going to want us to.
All right, so let
me... Oh, it was like so funny with my friend. I saw, we did that one time with Bert's Any Flavor Beans from Harry Potter.
Right.
And, you know, we were just doing it. It was almost like a drinking game.
It is.
I guess, like, see, watch her. We were just watching and see how she... Oh, she was so brave. It was just so funny watching her, like, eating and then, like, whoa. The poor thing. No, all right. So that was a chair.
All right. So I'm going to take a break for a moment, and then I'll come back and finish up with my little tribute to Carrie Fisher. So, as I want to close out this last podcast of 2016, I was not expecting to really go into this last part and talk about the loss of Carrie Fisher. I really want to end this review of Star Wars Rogue One on a high note, because it was a great movie, and it was very enjoyable. As we mentioned already, but it something like this really needs to be spoken out, at least by me, just because of who I am and what I do with this podcast. So, as I've mentioned countless times already throughout this podcast over the year, how many celebrities we've lost, and I've mentioned this again. There's something about that connection that matters to me, and I'm sure it matters to people all around the world for whatever reasons, whatever they may be. So, again, people die every day, every hour, every minute, every second. You know, as I'm just said that last line, how many people had just died. But I don't know them. And I can't be faulted for that, because they could be anywhere in this world. But with celebrities, on the other hand, it's a little bit different. And again, I've mentioned this before, but if this is the first time you listen to my podcast, I'm going to talk about this again. So celebrities, on the other hand, are people who we know through their art, whether it's acting, singing, dancing, writer, what have you. We're moved by them, and they make a lasting mark on us. even long after they're no longer in the limelight. So when we see them on a DVD, or we hear the song on the radio, or reread a certain book, you know, we're reminded of them. And we are brought back to those feelings of happiness and joy, or those moments that are surrounded with that event. So, you know, with Carrie Fisher, it's a very big deal. Not that losing David Bowie or Prince, Florence Henderson, all these people that I grew up with, admiring, and were part of my life, not that any one of them was any different, but they all kind of represent part of my childhood, and that's what it took me a while to kind of understand. What is it about all these people, these celebrities, are so significant that I'm talking about this? So, you know, I was lucky enough to see Star Wars at the age of 10. So, seeing Carrie Fisher at that age, you know, she was basically the first of many loves that I've ever had. And not as if I had a chance with her, but, you know, in every young man's life, you are attracted to something that's unattainable, and Princess Leia is unattainable. I mean, what I saw on the screen happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, so that's really unattainable. But nonetheless, it's a fantasy. And the actress who portrays her is part of that. So it's hard not to get the two closely aligned, that their association is that Carrie Fisher is Princess Leia and vice versa. I mean, when I think about the feeling that I have about her, it's like the time when I went to Walt Disney when I was I was the age of 8, my first trip to Disney, and finally seeing the Electric Street Parade for the first time, I was in awe of this, and I sat at the curb on Main Street, and I remember the floats going by, and there was this one float that just was beautiful, because there was a woman on top. It must have been Alice in Wonderland, because of her blonde hair. Could have been Sleeping Beauty, but I'm thinking more of Alice. So, in one split moment, she sees me, and she blows me a kiss. And that was seared into my head. So it was so ingrained to me, and it's a memory that I've had almost 41 years ago that I still remember. Because of that feeling and that association every time. Not necessarily that I'm going to Disney, I'm going to remember that feeling, but I remember that warm feeling, the tingling that I felt, that connection. So when I watch, you know, Star Wars and see Carrie Fisher, it's me falling in love with her all over again after all these years. So, you know, the other association that I have with her is that Princess Leia, you know, ultimately goes with Han. And I've always felt, aside from the whole brother and sister situation, which I'll talk about that in a moment, Luke really had a shot. So if that brother-sister scenario never happened, I was Luke. Because at the time, you know, later on, I had a best friend. We both liked the same girl. He was much more bigger, more rugged. And, you know, he had not necessarily his way, but things just didn't pan out, and I felt really left out, so to speak. But just like Luke in the very beginning, you know, where Han says that line, like, I don't know, you think a girl like that and a guy like me, and Luke says, no, that's me getting back at that situation with my best friend. Like, no, you don't deserve to go out with her. So when I see that and feel that scene, and then, of course, later on in Empire, there's a deleted scene. Again, remove the whole equation about the brother and sister. You know, Luke just got rescued from the Wampa, and he is lying or resting in the rebel base, and Princess Leia is talking to him and how much she was worried about him. And she's talking to him, and she's getting closer. And all of a sudden, again, because I'm identifying myself through Luke, I'm living through him, that feeling of getting to kiss her. And of course, thanks C-3PO for joy blocking the moment and basically disrupts that kiss. Again, take out the whole brother and sister equation out of it, because this is before that was the big reveal in Return of the Jedi. So it was genuine and it was there, and I felt that. Even watching it now, I felt that, because I wanted to kiss Princess Leia. Again, I'm enamored with her. When every time a loss like this happens, where there's a celebrity that I'm familiar with, or I have a connection with, or I have a moment in time that I bound that celebrity to, when that person dies, that feels like a part of my past is also dying. And that's why it's hitting me much harder than, let's say, you know, I don't know, Elizabeth Montgomery, who was in Bewitched. I watched Bewitched, but yeah, she was attractive, but not on the same level as I would say Princess Leia. But still, Prince, again, has a huge impact on my life. David Bowie, the same way. I mean, putting up with the fire with gasoline, the Cat People song that he sung, has huge implications in my life, even still today. So, having those memories be drawn up again is either, oh, I'm remembering the good times, or I'm remembering she's not going to be around, or that person's not going to be around anymore. So this moment of loss is going to be real, and I will be mourning to a degree in which I have to let these feelings pass. I'm not going to fight it. I'll maybe mopey for a while and things of that nature, but I will accept it because there's nothing else I can do. I can't go back in time and save her or anyone else this past year. I mean, certain situations I can't do. Like, for example, Interview with the Vampire that came out with Tom Cruise and I forgot the guy's name. Sorry. Now, I can't watch the movie. I saw it once with my stepfather, and it was a 4th of July weekend, and after that movie, he had shortly died. So I miss him terribly, but I can't watch that movie because it's always reminding me of that situation that he died the day after. Or how, like, my cousin, who is the closest that I will ever have to a sister, eventually died on my birthday. So I will always have that as a memory that's always together with my birthday, is the fact that she died on it. So what I want to take away from all this is that I want to remember the good times, like the times that my stepfather and my mom, you know, they took me to see Star Wars when I was 10 years old and kept taking me to Star Wars even when they said, you know, let's go watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I still kept saying no, I want to see Star Wars again. Because, again, we didn't have DVD players. We didn't have VHS players. We just... the only way you got to watch this movie was in the theaters. And then eventually, years down the road, maybe TV will air. But even then. But a funny story with that. When just about Return of the Jedi was coming out, my stepfather read something in the papers in which he talked to me about how Princess Leia is the sister of Luke Skywalker. And I'm like, what? What do you mean brother and sister? And I was like, And he's like, I thought you knew. I'm like, no, what do you mean I knew? What do you mean they're brother and sister? So he kind of played it. I was like, oh, I'm just kidding. But yeah, never mind. Yeah. Now, of course, I go to the movies. Brother and sister. So, yeah, I was angry. Spoilers. But those are the kind of moments that I want to remember and be happy with. So every time I see Return of the Jedi and see their, you know, what memories do you have of your mother, and then blah, 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 like, I'm your brother, you know, that reminds me of him. So, you know, with Carrie Fisher, luckily, the last movie she's going to be in will be next year, Star Wars 8. And that's going to be a very emotional movie. Especially for me, and of course, I'm not taking it away from any other person who is a Star Wars fan, but I'm talking to you about what I'm dealing with right now, and that movie is going to be less than a year away, and it's going to be in my mind until then. So until I have some kind of closure with her and seeing her, even though she's much older, that's not the point. It's the fact that she's now passed, but it hasn't really sunk in until I see her on the screen for the one last time. So, as you can hear in the background, I'm playing John Williams' score from Star Wars A New Hope, the Princess Leia theme, because it's appropriate. It's a beautiful piece of music that, again, I have always loved and endured over the years as a fan and as a music lover, just because that score, again, not having a DVD player, Blu-ray, or anything like that, the only way I get to see Star Wars was in my head. And through that music, I saw her again. I saw the whole movie again. So it's appropriate that I'm going to end this podcast with her theme song. So, I'm very sad that this has happened. I was really upset that this happened in the first place on Friday, right before Christmas. And the fact that they never released information out, good or bad, was a sign that it wasn't going to turn out good. But now that she's gone, she is now Carrie and Leia are now one with the Force, and the Force is with me.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.